I'm going to speak to you about a word that I think we probably have a prettier picture of it painted in our minds of what it is, and sometimes it's not such a pretty picture. It's this word. It has to do with this word, favor. And I think we get the mindset that favor is going to be some gold dust that drops down from heaven on us, or all of a sudden, like, we live our life believing and waiting on God, and one day, if we do enough, he just drops some favor on us. And it's the wrong picture of favor. And we also, the scripture I'm going to preach about is when Mary is told that she's blessed and highly favored. And I don't want to offend anybody, because I've heard it right here in this wall, inside of these walls, where somebody says, "How are you doing?" Blessed and highly favored. And I get that. And I believe that. And I claim that I am blessed and highly favored. But the truth of that scripture is that Mary isn't the one that's saying she's blessed and highly favored. Somebody else is telling her she's blessed and highly favored. Is that okay? Is that fair? Is that okay if I just tell you the truth of what was going on? Because, you know, we have this thing, everything's a hashtag. 10 years ago, we didn't even know what a hashtag was. It's like a food fight, and it's a hashtag is what I thought. I would think, you know, what is a hashtag? I think it's a food fight. I think some kids are throwing hash at each other and playing tag. The older people might get it. Older. And then now I just differentiate. Nobody wants to look old. Like, whoever laughed a second ago, you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Hashtag blessed. We say things like hashtag blessed, hashtag favored. Yeah, sounds good. And yes, we are some of that. But it doesn't all, because if that's the only way we look at it, is the exalted, then we'll start feeling hashtag better than somebody else. Hashtag didn't realize I was better than you. Have you ever been around somebody that all of a sudden you realize they think they're better than I am? That's not heartwarming, is it? Let me just read it. Now in the sixth month, Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man who was named Joseph. They were engaged, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" She didn't get hung up with all of the beautiful things that were going to happen through this. She got messed up instantly when she, a virgin, was told that she's going to have a baby. It really happened. I believe it just like it was said. Can you imagine What a bomb was dropped on her at that time. Nobody knew it better than Mary. And I don't think anybody would want to change places with Mary. Maybe now that you know the rest of the story, it'd be a good switch. But if somebody dropped a bomb like that on you and said, you're blessed and highly favored, because I'll bet that didn't feel like blessing. I bet it didn't feel like highly favored. I bet it felt like exactly what she said. How can this be? Why is this? I'm going to tell you, as you grow in the Lord, there are going to be some moments when something is going to happen in your life that looks like the furthest thing from a blessing. Amen? Has anybody ever been there? It looks like, how could this even be so God from God? This is so troubling. How could this be from God? And as a believer, I believe this. I have to believe that my Heavenly Father that knows everything, that anything that happens has to run through His filter. It has to have come through His filter. I don't understand all of that. I have to lean on this. And all of those things create more faith in me. By design, they have to. Either they create faith in you, or they can really kind of destroy you, at least for a temporary time. Let's read on. How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Very amazing, very, very amazing story right there. She heard it all, she processed it quickly, and then said, let it be. I question where my faith is at sometimes when I read a story like that. When God does something with an intention in your life, I get stuck on the God, what are you doing? And I might ride that out for a while. And within about 5 minutes, I'm not ready to say, God, whatever you want, it's okay. Jesus was able to do that. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Most people, I don't believe, are able to take that kind of a drop of a bombshell from God like that, and do that well with it. I sure am not able to. But yet, I want to be blessed and highly favored of God, don't you? Or maybe you don't want to anymore since I just kind of ruined it for you. No, I want to be blessed and highly favored of God, but it can't always be the blessing and the highly favored that I think it is, because sometimes things happen that look great in our lives, and somebody will say, oh, wow, you must be blessed, or wow, that's favor. That's a picture of favor in your life. But we'll look at something else and assign it as not favor. How could that be a blessing? How could that bad thing be a blessing? How can that thing that everybody's going to look at that and it's going to mess everybody up? Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to give some things time to mature. Some things we just need to let them soak or marinate or whatever you want to call it. Just let some time take place in your life. You know what I've learned about favor with God? Favor is something God can use to cause movement in your life. Let me say it again. Favor is something that God will use to cause movement in your life. I have a question for me, and it's a question for all of us. Why is it that many times, even as believers, it takes a sickness for us to call on God? Why is it that it would take me getting laid off from my job for me to start seeking God? Why is it that something tragic has to happen for me to start seeking God for answers about it when He's the answer the whole time? I think that part of that is being human. But in this human is the ability for the Spirit of God to reside. So truly, with the Spirit of God living inside of us, we should be at a quicker place to respond to God's will than we are sometimes. Amen. What did Job say to his wife who got all the bad news and said, "Job, you should curse God and die"? Job said this: "Shall we accept good only from God and not troubles?" One translation said, "and not evil." I dare not to break into that one. But shall I receive only good from God? If I can only receive good from God, that shows me a great deal about my maturity level. Right? When I can accept questionable things from God, that's a deeper state of maturity. When I can accept the harshest thing from God, to go quickly and realize, okay, this is bad, but you're still God, and there's got to be something in this that is redeemable. And I start moving towards the redemption. Because if I don't, I can go to a very low place, and you can too. A place of hopelessness. Have you ever seen when someone begins to get hopeless and then hopelessness sets in on somebody? That's one of the saddest things I've ever seen, is when hopelessness has set in. That person, they're almost recognizable when they start talking from that point. They're not anything like what you were used to them being before, because hopelessness has set in. As a believer, hopelessness should never set in. Ever. Ever. It should never set in. Let me read just a little bit further. Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." The things which were told her from the Lord. You got to believe that God talks to you. Do you believe that God can talk to you? Do you believe that He can say yes to you? Let me go very much deeper. Do you believe that God can say no to you? Yeah, because that's important too. Okay? The advantage of the believer is not just that God would speak to me. You can also say that I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The advantage of a believer is not that God or the Holy Spirit would speak to you. The advantage of a believer comes when you listen to what He says. God speaks all the time. His word cries out to us. It's inside a man to know the difference between right and wrong, and that comes from God. So God speaks. So there's not a particular advantage while God is speaking. The advantage comes in whether you listen to what God says or not. Because when you listen, now you are ready to propel in an area or to go forth in an area. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 4 and 29, and it's talking about really mankind. It's talking about from the beginning. It's talking about how bad we are as people. And that there's really no difference in us today than the people that were first created. We all have the propensity to be bad. But the scripture says this, but if from that place you go from here and you repent and you turn back to God, He'll bless you. What an incredible scripture. If from that place, everybody has a that place in their life that you need to be able to go from and be successful. In Him, you can find favor. And a matter of fact, in Proverbs, it talks about in Him is life and the ability to obtain favor. So for me to think of favor as something that's only going to be dropped on me at some point, that's not right. I can obtain favor. You know what I've been taught? I have a particular man who speaks into my life. Matter of fact, he texted me this morning and said something so encouraging to me. But he taught me something about, he said, I believe this about himself. He said, I believe this. He said, I believe I am able, I need to give favor a chance. And he explained it. Said, what does that mean, to give favor a chance? He said, I believe when I'm asking for something, I don't want to do it in an email form, not because I'm old-fashioned. I don't want to do it with a phone call. I want to do it in person. Why? He said, I believe this. He said, if I can get in the room, I'm giving favor a chance. To obtain favor. Sometimes all people need to do is to see you. It's to see you. To obtain favor. You can't just look at favor as something that's going to happen at some point in your life. You can obtain the favor of God. By the way you live, by the faith that you have, by who you are, can help you obtain favor. But I don't want to get off of what I'm talking about. I said this a minute ago. Favor is what God will use to cause movement in your life from time to time. And you may not understand it. And favor is not this. Something happened along the way right here between this conversation between Mary and Elizabeth. And some things that have been known, or something, some revelation has occurred. And something happened in Elizabeth's life that she realized that Mary had been in the presence of the Lord. So let me say this about favor. Favor isn't that God is talking to you. Favor is when God is talking to somebody else about you. Do you see that? Favor is when God talks to somebody else about you. Favor is when someone has heard something about you that you didn't say about yourself. When I was about 14, 15 years old, I was playing basketball, and I was pretty good. If you didn't believe it, just ask me, and I would have told you. And that situation was taking place, and I was telling my dad how good I was in basketball, and I was telling how good the practice went and how good I had performed, and he just stopped me cold and said, son, why don't you let somebody else brag on you? Favor's when somebody else is talking about you. Not you just promoting yourself. But it's also giving yourself a chance. Now, there's a scripture that Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. And I want to tie what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks into this. And I'm going to let you bring that one up for me, because those pages are hard to turn in my Bible. Those Ecclesiastes are some of those scriptures right in there. They're not the ones that we go to all the time, but there's something very powerful right there, chapter 11 and verse 1. So I've been, it's a new year. A couple Sundays ago, we had men's fellowship, and I challenged them to evaluate their year. Go ahead and start evaluating it now, because January's coming, and January's when we do the resolutions and all those type of things, right? And it's not good to make a resolution if you have not evaluated. I used the scripture where David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart. See if there's a wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." I talked about that. What a bold thing it was to say to God. Because I can search me, and I can be done with the search pretty quick. But if I ask God to search me, that's when every rock gets turned over. That's when the rug gets turned over. That's when the couch gets pulled back in my heart to see I'm asking God to search. I'm asking God to search. I'm not giving John permission to search anymore. I'm asking God to search. So when I've talked to you about evaluating yourself and seeing where things are at, there's something to be said for asking God to search me out. God, because God knows everything that bothers him. I know the things that bother me, but I want to know the things that bother God about me. Is that okay? That's where a thorough evaluation comes in. What David was saying is, God, audit my heart. Pull everything back. See everything that's there. But you know what David was doing? He was actually admitting who God already was in his life. You giving God permission to search your heart, he's going to do that anyway, because it's who he is. He loves you enough not to allow you to keep things turned over and covered up in your life. His mercy might allow that to happen for a little while. But because he loves you so much, he's going to expose those things that are there that he needs you to deal with. Amen? So with that, I want to throw this scripture out to you. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it in many days. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. That scripture is about creating favor in your life, but not right now. And at first it makes no sense, because we don't really live in an agricultural setting. I mean, we live in the South, and everybody's got a little garden, but that garden probably wouldn't sustain us all year long. Now, if we lived in Iowa, we would have a better understanding of cornfields and soybean, and everybody's got that. And most of the acreage is like that, except for little bitty woodlots, the Midwest portion of our country that feeds not just us, it feeds the whole world. They have to know those things. Well, this scripture right here was written in a time where everybody had to be very aware of their future and believing for favor in their life, that they're not just going to have food for today, but they're going to have food for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And that took careful planning. So what doesn't even sound like it makes a lot of sense is that cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. What that actually meant is that there were times when it didn't rain where they were living for months at a time, Literally like 8 or 9 months out of the year, it didn't rain. But when it rained torrentially. And it poured rain. And sometimes it would rain. They had to set their houses up on the sides of hills because the flooding that would take place would come all the way. And sometimes it would come into their houses. But the scripture to them was this. This was the word of the Lord for them. Cast your bread upon the waters. And in many days, it will find you. It'll come back to you. You'll be blessed later for what you do today. So I want to tell you that. Getting ready to make some resolutions, but as I look back over my life, most of my resolutions have failed. I know what I said about losing weight last year didn't work. Or at least I didn't hold up my end of the bargain. Cast your bread upon the water. And in many days it will return to you. Now as a flood would go, it comes up, and then it recedes back. Okay? So just get that picture. A flood comes up, but as the waters recede, they're going back to their normal place, their normal state, and the water's finally carried away. Well, in those days, they also did not have Uber. They also didn't have taxis. They also didn't have vehicles and cars or anything like that. What they had was their feet and horses or donkeys, some type of animal transportation. It didn't mean that they didn't have to go on journeys. It didn't mean that they didn't have to travel. So what it meant was this: cast your seed, cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days it will return to you. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll come back to you in many days. So what happened in this time of the year when they were flooded, they would take their seed and throw it out into the water. What would happen as the waters receded, it would actually find places in the soil. And it would create a harvest for them that was out there. So favor for them was out there. It was within reach, but it was out there. So as time took place, blessing came up for them in time. So I want to say to you this morning, everything that looks like favor and everything that looks like blessing is not always on the immediate scale. There are things that you sow toward, and you sow toward favor in your life. And it might cost you something right now, but in time, it's going to be a blessing to you. I was sharing with somebody not very long ago that their situation right now is not permanent, and it's not what it's going to be. But while the situation is what it is, you sow towards that future that is going to be. Where you're at right now is not where you're going to stay. Sow towards the thing in front of you. That's my message to you today. Sow towards your future, because your future is your future. Somebody say, my future. Don't you want to sow towards that? Don't you want to believe towards that? If I have to believe every day. Now, this was people that were having to have their mindset retrained. This is after God had brought his people out of Egypt. This is actually Moses talking. God had brought his people out of Egypt, and Moses was having to talk to them. He said, y'all are the reason, you people are the reason I'm not going into the promised land, but you're going to go there. Wow. Because of God's anger that was stirred up, I am not going to go. I mean, you can read the chapter, and that's what it says. I can't go in, but y'all are going to get to. But let me drop this on you, what God says about it. I can't go there, but you're going to go there. And he said, you that are left here, you're the ones that have seen God's miraculous power. But it's been so long, you've been in a wilderness setting. So let this speak to you right now. A wilderness setting. Y'all remember the 40 years in the wilderness? You remember that? They were there for a long time. Well, if you stay in a wilderness very long, you're going to have your mind retrained on some things. And you might get stuck in some ways. And they had to depend on God every day to give them a provision every day of the wilderness. Do you remember that? So let me just put it to you like this. Wilderness living is when you have to depend on a miracle every day of your life. God doesn't want you to have to depend on a miracle to happen just so that you can exist every day of your life. It's going to be a time in your life when you realize, hey, I can do better than this. I can obtain favor by God, but it's by me trusting enough to cast my bread on the water, believing that it's going to return to me in not many days. So that might be a different place for you. Maybe you've had to have miracles. I'm talking about miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. That can actually create a place that is not healthy for you. And God knew that. And he was bringing his people into a land of promise. But it's not there yet. Just saying this. I can take part in my future. I believe that I have a destiny in my life, but I also believe that I get to take part in my destiny. Amen. Christine, will you come play? Not what I had planned to preach at all today. At all. Even though that's the Christmas story part of it. The advantage of having God in your life and having his voice in your life is that you listen to what he says. I don't believe God is a silent God. I believe he speaks. I believe he whispers in a still small voice. I believe it can be very loud at times. There's a commercial that says, "Can you hear me now?" Can you hear what he's saying to you? Is there anything about your life up to this point that maybe you've not been listening to what he says? So you're stuck? Still waiting on God, still believing in God, but you've not listened to what he says. Have you listened to what he says? Somebody can say something over and over and over and over and over. But maybe there's nothing wrong with our hearing. What if you were trying to teach someone something and you're telling them, like you're looking at what you're trying to explain to them, like it says this, this, and this, and you're telling them, and over, you're telling them, telling them, telling them, telling them. You say, okay, they still don't get it. Okay, one more time. Okay, you see that? You look up and say, oh, their eyes are closed. Open your eyes. Sometimes you need to do something else. Say, God, I've been hearing you. Can you open my eyes too so I can see some things? Open my ears. Open my eyes so that I can see, so that things can change, so I can move towards this thing. I feel very, if I'm honest with you, I feel very disjointed right now, but it lets me know it's probably okay for me to feel disjointed because he's not. It's in obedience right now. I believe. believe I'm talking to somebody. Can you say, God, open my eyes? Not just my ears. Open my eyes to see. Can you say this to the Lord? I will obey. I will obey. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that in you is favor. Even though it doesn't always look like we've been led to believe about favor doesn't stop it being favor in our lives. Thank you that you're able to redeem all things. You're able to redeem the good things. You're able to redeem the bad things. God, if there's one that's stuck today, help them to not just hear your word, help them to see what you're saying. Let it paint a picture inside of them that is like a goal, like they are going to move forward. And let your favor cause movement in their life towards your purpose and toward their destiny in you, God. God, I'm believing you for greatness. And I'm believing you that it's coming and it's going to be wonderful and it's not going to look like the things that have happened. It's going to look like something new. And I'm ready for it, Lord. I speak favor over your people, Lord. I speak favor over. Jesus' name.